Cause I got all that I need here, and I'm good, yeah, yeah. I thought I needed to run and find somebody to love, but all I needed was some coconut oil. Don't worry about the small things, I know I can do all things. Mama always told me it would be alright. I thought I needed the rush, but it was never enough. Cause all I needed was some coconut oil. Don't worry about the small things, I know I can do all things. Mama always told me that and she was right.
It's a party over here now. It's a party over here now.
Yeah.
It's a party over here now. It's a party over here now. It's a party over here now. It's a party over here now.
Yeah.
It's a party over here now. It's a party over here now.
Hello. And welcome to episode 32 of Black Girl Squee, the show where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a squee. I'm Dee Dee, known as This Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Enda, known as Enda's Corner on Twitter.
And you can also find us together by tweeting at Black Girl Squee. You can find us on Tumblr at blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Our email address is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And you can also rate and review us on iTunes. And we'll have that link in the show notes. Our new podcast home is Simplecast, and you can find us there by going to blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. Before we get started, just a few notes. We want to remind you that our spoiler policy is that we spoil shit. In the past, we spoiled How to Get Away with Murder, WGN's Underground. We've also spoiled the first season finale of Queen Sugar. So we get around. So if we mention a TV show, we might spoil some. You have been warned. Speaking of warnings, we also cuss a lot and talk about peeing. And we've been away for a while, so we're going to do a lot of cussing. And a lot of peeing talk. Didn't you miss us? Anyway, we also squee loud and often, especially Enda. So adjust your volume accordingly. And speaking of loud squeeze, let's get into our squee-worthy news. And the first thing to squee about is that Janet Jackson just had a healthy baby boy at age 50.
Yay!
Yes, the baby's name is Isa, which means salvation in Hebrew, and is an Arabic form of Jesus. Of course, Janet just had this baby with her husband, Wissam Almana, who is a billionaire. And there are reports that she is being waited on hand and foot, as she should.
Yes,
the queen that she is. And she's doing well. I'm happy that she had her baby healthily.
Yeah,
and she was able to do it at 50.
Yeah,
good grief.
Okay.
You're making it hard out here on these 40-somethings that don't want to have kids, Janet.
Right. Going to have everybody still talking to us at 45. So
like,
Janet,
you can still do it.
You can still, like, no.
Janet is married to a billionaire.
Yes.
And she is a millionaire.
Exactly.
There are differences.
Yes.
So to Janet and Wissam and Isa, we give a squeeze.
Congratulations.
Oh.
Okay. So our next item in Sweetworthy News. Hidden Figures beat Rogue One at the box office last weekend.
Yay!
Okay, so Hidden Figures beat Rogue One by about $700,000. It earned a total of $22.8 million at 2,471 screens over the first weekend. Rogue One had 4,175 screens. Wow. Okay.
So Rogue One had 2,000 more screens.
Yes.
And Hidden Figures still beat it.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Hidden Figures had been forecast last week to take in between $16 million and $18 million, and it had a $25 million budget. So with that and whatever it earned over its limited release, it's probably made up its budget by now.
Mm-hmm.
Women.
So everything else is gravy.
Yes. So women were 64% of the audience, and yes, we all know most of them were Black women because we were organizing groups to get together and go see it.
Thank you. And yes. And the way white women were portrayed in this movie, I don't think this was the movie that was first on their minds to go to. They're trying to obscure the facts with this, but it was Black women.
Yes.
That made up the bulk of this audience.
Yeah. It's always us.
Yeah. Well, it's our movie. So congratulations to Hidden Figures. It's first week out.
And to
number one movie.
Yep. To everyone involved in that film, we give a big squee!
Oh my gosh, that movie was so good. Okay.
I'll get to see it soon, someday. Yes.
Yes. Yes, you will. Bust.com, wrote an article about 10 more lady podcasts you need to listen to right now. And Nerdgasm Noir Network is on the list. And that's all that matters. So,
pretty much, yeah.
Because most of the other lady podcasts are ones you're already listening to. And that already get a wide amount of publicity. Or white lady podcast. So to have Nerdgasm on the list after all this time is great. We just hope that people start listening to more indie podcasts that don't have the sponsorship of a big media organization like a BuzzFeed or a big podcast network or whatever. So, podcasts like, I don't know, Black Girl Squee. So, congratulations to Nerdgasm, well deserved. And, check out some more indie podcasts by Black ladies.
Yes.
You will definitely get your life, especially if you listen to Black Joy Mixtape. Mm-hmm. If you listen to us,
yeah,
just saying. So to Nerdgasm being in this article, we give a
squee! Congrats!
Yay! All right.
Well, our next item, bit more serious, so we want to talk about a woman who they've written about recently in Broadly. And she is, the headline says, the survivor who was carjacked, raped, and now fights for other victims. This is about a young woman named Wangu Kanja. I really hope I pronounced your name correctly. It says she was 25 when she was carjacked and raped at gunpoint in Kenya. And she says, when I came out to speak about my ordeal, people judged me. The first question was always, how were you dressed? Who were you with? People's reactions were either to keep silent or to blame me instead of holding the perpetrator accountable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when she reported the rape to police, they refused to acknowledge the attack as rape. And so from the article, they explained that according to the 2014 Kenya Demographic and Health Survey, 45% of the country's women aged 15 to 19 have experienced physical violence and 14% have suffered sexual violence. So Kanja says that in African culture, women are seen as property. The man has control. Whether you are willing to have sex or not, you will do what the man asks. Women cannot make noise. You don't have the power of your body. You are a woman, so you are born to serve the man. That's what she says. Mm-hmm. So in response to this, she created the Wangu Kanja Foundation in 2005, and it's a push for survivors' testimonies to be at the heart of the Kenyan government policy. The article also explains that the women that come to her often need urgent medical attention, because some are admitted to the hospital for a day and others have to be there for months, and some need total reconstructive surgery of their genitals.
Can we pause for a second?
Yeah.
Because, fuck.
I know. Like, wow.
If anybody ever doubted that rape was violence.
Thank you.
Right? Rape is not sex.
No.
It's not about sex.
No.
It's straight up violence. Because what the fuck are you doing? No kind of sex should require reconstructive surgery at all.
Yep.
Much less total.
Yep.
Reconstructive surgery of your lady parts.
Thank you.
And there's just so much fuckery in that one sentence. I can't process it all. Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead. Understood. Because that's horrifying.
Yes.
That is just so horrifying. Okay, but Kanja, she says the more we talk about it, the more people want to know. We'll start to see change with the realization that if one person is affected, everyone is affected. So, the work she is doing, wow. I mean, bless her heart. I'm so glad she is bringing this to light, because that is terrifying. Just, I mean, thing is, we know that here too, because rape culture is everywhere. But I mean, man, it's... Don't ever listen to anyone that tells you that oppression or violence against a certain part of your people is culture. Don't ever believe that shit.
Say it one more time.
So don't ever believe anyone that tells you that oppression or violence against a particular part of your people is the culture. Don't.
Ooh, that might have to be another Black Girl Commandment, because shit. But to Wangu Kanja, bless her and bless her work.
Yes.
And we give you a huge squeeze! One of the several articles we have from Shadow and Act. email Black Girl Squee to talk about sponsorships. Just saying. Renee Elise Goldsberry will play Henrietta Lacks in HBO's film adaptation of The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. We reported before that she was going to be a part of this adaptation. I'm not sure if we specified whether or not she was going to play the lead character. But now we know that she will be. She will play Henrietta Lacks, though probably in a flashback, because the story is structured as a chronicle of her daughter's search to learn about her mother and understand how the unauthorized harvesting of Lacks cancer cells in 1951 led to unprecedented medical breakthroughs. And hopefully it will also discuss the violation,
yes,
of her body without consent, without her family's knowledge. The fact that her daughter has to find out after the fact, after they'd already done all of these kinds of things with her mother's body. Oh, God. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey optioned the story in 2010, which is probably, I think, the same year that the book came out. And Oprah Winfrey will play Lax's daughter, Deborah. in the present day. Rose Byrne will play the author of the book, Rebecca Skloot. George C. Wolfe will direct. He also wrote the screenplay. And, of course, as we said before, Renee Elise Goldsberry will play the lead role of Henrietta Lacks. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this adaptation, and hopefully we'll finish reading the book. and so to everybody involved with this very important story, we give a big squee!
All right. Okay, so our next item, you may have seen a photo shoot of some plus-size swimwear, and the headline from Fusion says, this stunning plus-size swimwear shoot is turning body-shaming resolutions on their heads. And that shoot was from a young woman named Gabby Fresh. She's a plus-size model and blogger, and she's known for popularizing the fatkini movement. So she has a new installment of her swimwear collection. It pushes back on the constant messages about weight loss to celebrate the body and the way it is now. And so the tagline, New Year, Same You. And if you haven't seen the photo shoot, man, it's gorgeous. I mean, and the swimwear is actually very pretty. I love it. So,
And you probably recognize, you may recognize Gabby Fresh from the Ebony magazine Body Brigade cover. She was on that cover with Jasmine Sullivan and Danielle Brooks and
Michelle Crissett, I believe.
Yes, yes, yes. So you may recognize her from there, or you may recognize her from her blog. To Gabby Fresh, we give a big from Vulture, we have a report that Regina King has signed a development deal with ABC. She now has a 2-year production deal with ABC to develop content through her company, Royal Ties.
Because
her, yeah, Regina, her sister's Raina, they're both named King.
Duh, I get it now.
Wow. Somebody was stuck on royalty in their household. Regina King has directed TV episodes for programs like Scandal, Animal Kingdom, The Pitch, and Greenleaf. I think she's also directed for How to Get Away with Murder in earlier seasons. Regina will work with her sister, Raina King, to produce new projects for ABC Studios. And Regina joins a group of people like Kerry Washington and... what's the guy that used to host the nightly show?
Larry Wilmore.
Yes, they have production deals with ABC too. So ABC is really investing in some Black folks.
Yep.
So to Regina and Raina, we give a big
All right. Okay. And our next item is another report from Shadow and Act. Taraji P. Henson will be starring as a hit woman in a Screen Gems film called Proud Mary. And there's also the Tyler Perry produced dramedy Acrimony. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right. So, there's actually some good news in that. So, but Taraji, she will play a hit woman in Proud Mary whose maternal instincts awaken when she meets a young boy. Ooh, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, Cinemosity, the Cinemosity podcast, said that it reminded them of a film called Gloria.
Yeah, I think. I remember something about that. It was like 80s film. It's like Gina Rollins or somebody, but it was remade with like Sharon Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't see the remake though, and I barely remember the original one, because like I said, that was years ago. And I was probably just watching it on TV one day. I don't know. But yeah, that it does sound like that. And as for Acrimony, that's starring Tika Sumpter. So that's the good news on that, because
we need to see more of her. So it'll be Taraji and Tika. So.
Yeah. Because we need to see more Tika Sumpter.
Yeah.
I don't really see her in a lot. And I'm like, please put her in more stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, So to Taraji P. Henson, proud graduate of Howard University. And, star of the number one movie in the country. We give a big squee! Eat you.
She can't help herself, y'all.
I can't. First Lady Michelle Obama said goodbye on Late Night with the Tonight Show. And urged people to not be afraid of what's to come. Sorry, but easy for you to say, lady.
Right. I know
so much, but I love, but
I can't. So from the article, with just over a week left in the White House, the First Lady isn't quite in unfiltered mode. The article says that she wouldn't want to risk a last-minute gaffe, as she nearly did in November when she admitted to Stephen Colbert that she has no sympathy for Melania Trump after the future, she plagiarized parts of the actual First Lady's RNC speech.
Yep.
I mean, parts of her, of... Oh my gosh, this is confusing. Melania plagiarized the First Lady's previous DNC speech for parts of her RNC speech. And I wouldn't say that's a gaffe.
No.
She was actually just being real. And this Melania lady does not need her sympathy.
No.
And she has no reason to give it. The First Lady participated in a pre-recorded bit where she watched some of her biggest supporters thank her and then surprised them with a hug. You might have seen that on Twitter, little clips of that on the internet, where they talked to like a portrait of the First Lady, and then she came out from behind a curtain and gave them a big hug. She then emerged from backstage to the sounds of the Roots playing Stevie Wonder's Please Don't Go. Stevie Wonder is her favorite singer and was also the night's musical guest. So they were just doing it up big for the First Lady. I appreciate it. And I think she was the only guest that night on the show. First Lady Obama says, I didn't think that it was going to be that emotional, because it's like, we're ready to go. We're good. We're ready to go. It's been 8 years. 8 years is enough. We're packing up. But it has been surprisingly emotional for all of us in ways that we didn't expect. She also says, when I think about the fact that some of them, meaning children, are afraid about what's to come, I don't want them to be afraid. I want them to embrace the future and know that the world is getting better. We have bumps in the road. We have ups and downs, but I want our kids to move forward. I don't care where they come from, with strength and with hope. Aww. So that's a nice message, but it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Because some of those kids might be watching their parents get deported. Who knows what this fool is going to do once he actually gets the keys to the White House. I can't help but be afraid.
Exactly. I appreciate her, what she's trying
to do. She trying.
Well, they have to, okay? They have to.
They've done their time, and she wants to go home.
That's the thing. They have always had to take the high road. I mean, it's not even a matter of, you know, an option. They have to. It is have to for them.
But even when they do, they get shit on, so...
Exactly. Exactly.
She also revealed that the reason why Sasha Obama was not at the president's farewell speech in Chicago was because she was home, because she had a final the next day. And if you know anything about black mothers... You don't have to say, she don't have to say no more.
No.
She had a final the next day, end of.
Yep.
Malia already graduated, so she can go.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Sasha wasn't getting out of that.
Nope. Oh, don't nobody man. Care that your daddy the president?
I know.
You better take this test. Look, ass too.
Look, you could be black. Your parents could be royalty. Okay? You still getting your lessons in. And you studying for your test.
You gonna take your test.
But they said that the nuclear bomb was gonna be dropped tomorrow. You still taking that test first. It's gonna wait until after you finish that test. That's just how it is. Okay.
So, how can you not love her?
I know.
To Michelle Obama, we give the biggest of
squeeze. All right. Our next item is a profile from ID, and this is about a young lady named Caprice, or I think it's Caprice. It might be Caprice, but I'm going to say Caprice because that sounds right to me. Caprice Willow Turner is an activist for the new generation. Turner staged her first protest at 18, and she hadn't been to one before and didn't know how to set it up. She had a misspelled protest sign and no microphone. When she organized a Black Lives Matter march in London after witnessing a viral video of the horrific murder of Philando Castile by a Minnesota police officer. She created the initial Facebook group on July 6th, 2016, and 3,000 people gathered at London's Oxford Circus ready to protest. So, wow. She says, "After I saw the video on Facebook of Philando Castile being shot, I realized I had to do something. People in London were tweeting about how angry they were, but no one was actually doing anything. I thought, what the fuck is going on? Does no one care?" So I decided to organize a protest. So y'all, when y'all see that little meme that says, "Fuck it, I'll do it myself," signed black women. That's what we do. Yeah. She also says, "I don't want to define myself as black or white. I'm not going to turn my back on one side or the other." Yeah, she's mixed. Okay, so yeah, we'll just leave that there. Mm-hmm. She's currently reading anthropology and sociology at Goldsmiths. She says, "Black Lives Matter is not just about black people being shot by police in America. It's about how black people are treated across the world, whether they're stopped and searched in the street, how they're represented in media. We have to reform the police and the governments. On an immediate level, we need to go back to our local communities, to our schools, and teach kids that they don't have to wear a weave or straighten their hair to fit in, and inspire them to love the color of their skin. We need to encourage young people to stand up for what they believe in and remain true to who they are." Okay, so, yeah. So, well, yeah. I do appreciate our young activists, though. Y'all gotta love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has her head straight, yeah. Head on straight for the most part.
Yeah.
And you know, she's only 18, so she's still learning.
Yeah, exactly.
So to Caprice Willow Turner, we give a big
squee!
Yet another article from Shadow and Act. up with the sponsorship. Fox announces the two grand prize winners from the Search for Hidden Figures STEM contest. The Search for Hidden Figures contest actively engaged the next generation of female leaders in science, technology, engineering, and math, and received more than 7,300 submissions from students across the country. One grand prize winner, Joy Bulamwini from Cambridge, Massachusetts, is also a Rhodes Scholar. Wow. And aims to conduct STEM research to develop tools that can identify and mitigate algorithmic bias that can often lead to discriminatory practice and behaviors in society. Whoa. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, Ms. Joy. All right.
All righty.
The second grand prize winner, Yuna Shin from Bothell, Washington, is focused on exploring new ways to develop solutions in health sciences, specifically using STEM skills to detect abnormal brain waves that could help prevent seizures for those facing epilepsy. Hey.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. So they're the grand prize winners.
Yeah.
And they receive $50,000 in scholarships, a trip to the Kennedy Space Center in Orlando, Florida, and access to STEM training materials and programs from the New York Academy of Sciences. Additionally, 10 runners-up were also selected to each receive $10,000 scholarships, a hometown screening of the film Hidden Figures, and access to STEM training materials and programs from the New York Academy of Sciences.
Wow.
So to Joy and Yuna, we give a great big scream! That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I just love to see if they're being invested in like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, you may have heard a couple of weeks ago that Serena Williams got engaged to Reddit, to the co-founder of Reddit. So, I just have to say, finding out that engagement, it just brought out the Ashy Brigade and, ugh, because, you know, they can't help it. They can't help it. Black woman is
not
happy.
Not a bottle of lotion to be found. Not even a trial size.
Nope. Mm-mm. No. All right. From an article from Bitch Media states that the Pew Research Center found that in 2013, more than double the amount of black men, which 25%, than black women, 12%, married a non-black partner. While the mainstream media has used such statistics to suggest that black women aren't sexually desirable, black media has dug deeper, considering that the legacy of sexual abuse during slavery has made black women reluctant to cross the color line. The article also mentions that the widespread notion that black male sexuality posed a threat to white women could and did get African American men lynched during slavery and afterward. Yet this history isn't typically exploited to accuse black men who wed interracially of betraying black women. But
they use similar stuff all the time to push back at the few black women who actually dare to not marry or engage with black men romantically. They want to bring up, oh, these are the people that raped your ancestors and enslaved them and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, they did it to yours too.
Yeah.
While the ancestors of your girlfriend sipped lemonade and watched. Anyway, miss me with all of that.
Yeah. Look, Serena, she was with this dude for like 4 months. He proposed. She said yes. Guess what? She's happy with him. They are happy together.
The article does mention that maybe something of note to that's actually worth critiquing is the fact that Reddit is a known haven for white supremacists and misogynists. So, what's up with that, Alexis? Can you do something about making that website safer for people of color, like your fiance?
Talk about the dissonance.
Yeah, and please don't tell me that you don't see color, Mr. Ohanian.
Because if we do, we're just gonna have to go find and snatch Serena and get her away.
Yeah, while we cancel you. So, anything else you want to have to say about this bullshit?
No, I'm just gonna hope for the best for it because she deserves her happiness, and I hope it works out. And I hope, I don't know why he would let his platform run wild like it does. In regards to, you know, it's rampant racism and sexism and everything else, but hopefully it's not that much of a reflection of him and he'll at least make an effort now. I mean, he could have before, but maybe he'll make an effort now for the sake of his fiance.
I mean, when you think about it, so is Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and he's married to an Asian woman, too.
Oh, so... You know, white supremacists are going to find their find places on the internet, even if they have to create them.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they can't find them, there's always 4chan, right? So,
but anyway, so to Serena,
yeah.
to Serena.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, look, at least for her sake, because I adore her. So at least for mm-hmm. her sake, you know. We want to give a huge scream.
Ashley, these Ashy Larrys, they just mad that she is not twerking that god body on them. That's all it is.
But they'll be the first ones criticizing her.
Yeah. I never said they were logical. I just said they were mad.
No, there is no logic to them whatsoever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they think they deserve to criticize and to have access to that god body. So yeah. it makes no sense. Yeah. But back to the good stuff.
Yes.
A Georgia girl who has read 1,000 books at age 4 visits the Library of Congress and becomes an honorary librarian. Dalia Marie Aranya from Gainesville, Georgia, has read 1,000 books, and she's only 4 years old.
Yay.
She joined Georgia's 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program at the age of 2.
Wow.
And she recently visited the Library of Congress, where she was named librarian for a day. She spent time with Carla Hayden, the 14th Librarian of Congress, and also a black woman.
Yay.
So,
she's so adorable.
She is. Oh my gosh.
Like
she has a cute little glasses. I'm like,
yeah.
I feel bad that she's wearing glasses at 4 years old, but hey, she's read 1,000 books.
I know, right?
She probably needs
so
them.
So adorable. I'm just so glad she got to go to that library where a black woman was in charge of it.
Yes. It's so adorable.
Yeah.
So to Dalia Aranya, we give a big squee!
Squee louder than
oh my gosh. Since 2 years old, she's been reading. Oh my God. So now to the main topic. Go ahead and announce it.
Okay.
Ms. Lauren.
Well... Okay, I really don't know how I'm going to get through this one, but we decided to devote our main topic this week to the only First Lady who matters, Michelle Obama.
Hey!
Yeah, I mean, it's been hitting me this week that they really are leaving, and I really have been in denial about it, and I really just don't want to think about it as if anything. I'm going to miss her most, and it doesn't seem right that anyone else should have a presence where she was in that White House. And so, yeah, just going to talk a bit about why we love her so much, what we're going to miss about her, and just reminisce in the good old days before we have to say goodbye.
I mean, first of all, she's the mark that she's made on the presidency, the office of the first lady, it's indelible. It cannot be erased.
Yes.
Her presence as a 6 foot tall, dark skinned black woman, with grace and intelligence and common sense,
yeah,
and this wonderful maternal air about her as well. She's just everything you'd want in a first lady, and in,
yes,
a first black first lady.
Yes.
Too. And it's just seeing her there in that office alongside the president, to see her being the recipient of so much love and adoration.
Yes.
Is also important and wonderful, and just seeing her soak up all that affection is just lovely.
Just seeing a black man just so obviously in love with her like he is.
And, I mean, who wouldn't be?
Yeah, that's
just
true.
He's
like,
look at her!
Yeah, he knows he lucked out. He knows.
Yes.
Like, and I have to say, I know this sounds really trite and just really basic, but she really is the reason I voted for him. She is. I mean, during his first campaign, I don't remember if it was before or after he won the primary, but politicians are politicians to me. So it's just like, okay, whoever's going to do the least harm, whatever. I don't care. Because I'm probably not going to, you know, see any prosperity under anybody anyway. But I was flipping channels and I catch her and I'm like, oh, she's married to the guy running for president. And I started listening to her. Now, during this speech, you know, she was talking and she would say every once in a while she had a cold. And, you know, so every, you know, other sentence or so is, you know, accented with a little sniffle and all. But I just listened to her. And by the time that speech was over, I was just sitting there thinking to myself, okay, so Barack convinced this woman to marry him, to have his children. He is not going to be any old fool. Because if you know anything, if you picked up anything about her, she is not going to be married to any old fool. This dude had to have his shit together so tight if he was able to pull her.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay. I'm like, okay, you got me. I'm going to listen to him now. And so that's when I started listening to him.
But yeah, so the woman makes the man.
In this case, definitely.
So what else can we say about Michelle LaVon Robinson Obama?
From the south side of Chicago.
Chicago!
That's a Chicago girl right there.
Oh my gosh. who keeps her youngest daughter at home. On the day her dad, the president, is giving
the first and only black president of the United States, and you still would not let her come. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, but that's going to be
fun. Right there.
That's going to be funny to me for the rest of my life.
Mama, there's never going to be another moment like this. There will never be another moment like this final either. You better stay your ass at home.
I know, right? That's exactly.
I mean, she's this classy first lady. She's also this, black mama from the South Side who doesn't truck with no foolishness.
Exactly. Exactly.
just such a multi-dimensional black woman.
Yes.
And it's been a joy to see her in the office. The only thing that hasn't been a joy is her detractors that,
yes,
you know, really don't have shit to say about her, so they attack her looks. from a very racist and Eurocentric perspective.
Oh, gosh. That was so infuriating. Just infuriating.
So, and try to shame her, try to shame her body because it doesn't fit into anybody's Eurocentric beauty standards, and things like that. That's the only thing that hasn't been a joy, but
yeah,
that's not anything that, I mean, unfortunately, Black women are used to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people do that with Black women celebrities daily.
Yeah.
They also criticize their feminism. You know, just because the first lady wanted to be the known as the first mom, you know, they wanted to criticize her feminism. Like,
this is, look.
She was Barack's boss.
Yes.
I mean, she has 2 degrees from Ivy League universities.
Thank you.
She's not no little, she's not Barack's little wife. She's got accolades all her own.
Look, she chose to take the role that she did, okay? She chose it, all right? As look, if she had the option, then fine. That is what she wanted to do, okay? This is what she wanted to do. Look, Black women's feminism is not going to look the same as a white woman's feminism, all right? It never will. So, whoever got mad at her for wanting to be first mom, you know what? Fuck you.
Basically. But back to the love fest.
Love fest, I have to say, I cannot believe how much I fell in love with her style. Lord have mercy. The magazine covers, the photo shoots, the state dinners, the inauguration stuff.
Yes.
Oh my God.
She came to slay.
Thank you.
Every one of them.
The slayage was just too much. Just she didn't want us to get up off the ground.
she often did it wearing clothes by designers of color.
Yes.
So shout out to that.
Very intentionally, when she was meeting heads of state from other countries and cultures, she chose designers who were of their of the same heritage as them.
Nice.
Yes.
She's so smart.
Yes.
So, hey, it's a nice icebreaker, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you like this dress? You know who made it? This person from blah de blah de blah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Very smart.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I just want her gloves from the second inauguration. I just want the gloves. I love the coat, but I will settle for the gloves.
Mm. Yeah. Like I said, you know, other people want to talk about that Jackie girl. I don't care.
No, I love
Michelle her. Is the only first lady that matters to me.
Yes. Lord have mercy. I'm still not over.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still not over like the Ebony and Vogue things from last year. I am not.
The fact that she, yeah, the fact that, you know, she has no problem mentioning that, you know, this White House was built by slaves, by my ancestors.
Ooh, oh my God.
But I want to, I want to open this up and make this the people's house.
Yeah.
And she's taking, and she's doing photo shoots at the White House. Like, you saw one of those Vogue photo shoots was on, you know.
Yeah.
She was sitting on a pillar of the White House.
Yes.
Like, look at me.
Yes.
A descendant of slaves. Up in this White House, you know, that is my home, has been my home for the past 8 years.
And looked glorious.
That is a powerful statement.
Yes.
That's something that Jackie Onassis Kennedy could never do.
No. Nope.
So just her presence there on top of her being such a gracious and intelligent and wonderful human being, just says so much.
Yes.
And the way that she has raised her daughters and protected them, and they've grown up before our eyes into these lovely young women who care so much and, you know, do community work during their summers off, and just wonderful.
They were babies when they first babies. Came into the White House. They're taller than I am now.
Well, they were going to be. I mean, their parents
well,
are taller.
Well, yeah. But I mean, oh, that's just... It
was she's taller than the president. So.
Yeah, Malia is. Oh, my gosh. He's like going to be 6 feet two as well. Oh, my gosh. I mean, but it was like watching my nieces grow up. It really was.
And they look so much like her. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, anyways, they're just adorable. I just, what else can we say about her? How many ways do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
Well, oh my gosh. She was also very good. She was just easy with people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you could believe that you could just, you know, have a conversation with her and she wouldn't put on airs about it. Just be, I mean, I kind of also just kind of feel it was a bit subversive how much she also loved other black women. I mean, in Carpool Karaoke, she's rapping to Missy Elliott.
She knows all the words.
She knows all the words to get your freak on.
Which means she also knows that the actual title is Get Your Fuck On. Just saying.
See, that's what's inspiring Barack to do daytime and nighttime playlists.
Look at you. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's slow jamming the news, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Up in that Lincoln bedroom. Anyway.
Oh, man.
So.
Okay, but she had a screening of Hidden Figures in the White House with Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, Janelle Monáe there. And called Janelle Monáe her child. I know. I know. Like I said it before, they were screening fracking Birth of a Nation 100 years ago, Woodrow Wilson. And now you finally, you know, have a screening of this film that is retrieving black women from history and finally, you know, making aware of their contributions based on a book by a black woman highlighting their contributions to fucking NASA.
And the president just gave Katherine Johnson the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yes. She's like, still alive.
Either the year before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's still alive.
So.
Yeah, bless her heart.
So.
Wow.
And to have that be the last film screened in the Obama White House.
Oh, man.
Means a lot.
Yeah.
Also, Taraji P. Henson is from D.C.
Really?
Couldn't she be your child too, Obama, Michelle? but
well, Janelle is the baby. Mm-hmm. Janelle is younger than all of us.
Yeah. So it was just a
yeah.
I just love
just
it.
Those just things like it. That. Just. Those little things. I mean, because she did have to do a lot of tiptoeing and tightrope walking, you know, to appease, you know, everybody. But you didn't have to look that closely to see just how much she loved her fellow black women. You did not have to look that closely, you know.
And we love you right back.
Yeah. She knew we was here for her, so she stayed here for us as much as she could.
Yeah. So, Just so many reasons to love Miss Michelle Lamon Robinson Obama.
From the south side of Chicago.
Yes, the first of her name. We just wish you the best of everything as you go back to being a civilian.
Yes.
Or a private citizen. And wish you and your children the best, and, you know, your husband too, I guess. But we will miss you most of all, and we love you, and you're the only First Lady that matters to us.
Yes, there will never be another Michelle Obama. There was no way.
No.
Leaving some very big shoes to fill, and you know what? That's not going to be done.
Nope. Especially not by anyway.
Yeah.
Catch the fade.
I know. Have to constantly. Me get angry so I don't sit here and start crying about stuff.
Yeah.
Get angry.
And your successor can catch the fade.
Yep.
But first, we're going to talk about these no-count Negros.
Why must they ash so hard?
Get some lotion. You can afford it.
I know, right?
And do you want to start this off?
Okay, well, our first catch the fade, because we got a couple of catch the fades here. If you saw an article in The Root, I want to mention that this is by Jan M. Jackson, and she is, I think, the editor over at the Black Youth Project. If you look her up on Twitter, you can find that out. But she wrote a very good article called Tyler Perry and Lee Daniels Built Their Careers on Black Women's Stories Betrayed in Misogynoir. That's pretty much all you need to know right there, because it is absolutely true. These men, they have become pretty much moguls, and they've all done it off the backs of being horrible to Black women. Yes. I mean, if you've seen Lee Daniels' first film, Shadow Boxer, you know, it wasn't going to get much better than that. Because remember, he did Shadow Boxer and Monsters Ball. I think he did something else after that. I don't know. And Tyler Perry and his passion plays. Oh, gosh. Okay. Anyway. What the article says is Perry debuted a show for TLC called Tyler Perry's Too Close to Home that featured a predominantly white cast. Since then, the New Orleans native and Atlanta resident has doubled down on the problematicness, telling the Associated Press just last week that the blowback he received from his longtime fans was totally reverse racism because it was coming from African-American people. Okay. Lee Daniels actually had the audacity to say, I wouldn't be where I was if I embraced racism. If I embraced it, then it became real. And if it became real, I would be an angry Black man. That doesn't make any fucking sense, Lee.
It doesn't. Nothing he's said lately has made any sense. This whole thing about choosing a white girl as the lead for his new show. Because this white girl is so fabulous that Black people will embrace her and white people will embrace her. And also he wanted to make white people
feel good about themselves. What the fuck, mother...
They just voted a fascist, white supremacist into office. They feel good.
Trust me. Yeah. The fuck is... It? Oh, God. What the fuck are you smoking?
They shouldn't feel good, but they do.
No, please let me know what the fuck he's smoking, because I need to stay very far away from that shit. It makes you delusional.
I don't know. We might need some of it to get through the next 4 to 8 years.
Maybe delusion would be a good thing, because I won't have to think what's really fucking happening.
It's obviously what's his name is smoking. Everything out of his mouth is some trash.
Garbage.
It makes no sense. Anyways, they built their careers off the support of working class black folks and the exploitation of stereotypical black female characters, only to kneel at the altar of whiteness in hopes of gaining even more capital and accolades from the white mainstream. I mean, the only good thing about it is they gave work to actresses that were not getting much play from mainstream Hollywood.
Well, in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could say Daniels is still, you know, he'll probably be the first to say that we wouldn't know about Taraji P. Henson if it weren't for Empire, or if it weren't for Tyler Perry movies or whatever.
No. She had an Oscar nod before she got on Empire.
True. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
And
that's logic, Inda. These men know nothing of logic.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So also from the article, Perry and Daniels remind us that black men still benefit from patriarchy, and patriarchy has always had economic implications. Once these men bought into the mechanisms of capitalism as a form of deliverance from the blackness and the womanness they actually scorn, they also inherited the classed and gendered hatreds that come along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do they, and it's telling that the main ones doing it are these two men.
Yep.
If you take a look at who they are and the fact that they are so anti-black and anti-femme.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just projecting their own self-hatred.
Yep. It just
onto their actors and their audience and anybody that'll pay attention.
It just amazes me, though, that black men, like, whether they're cishet or, you know, queer or whatever, how they will always take their anger out on black women. I mean, not just all black people, but black women specifically. You know, I mean, Tyler Perry's in most of his fucking audience that
catalog.
He built. Yeah, that audience that he built with Madea was mostly black women, church going black women. Okay. But it's like pretty obvious from, you know, I've never watched The Have and The Have Nots. You know, I've never, but I did see like a couple of the Madea plays when they were still, you know, on stage. Because for some reason, my aunt made me sit and watch like three of them in one day, and they were all the same story. But
does she love you?
She doesn't love anyone.
Okay.
Okay. We want to talk more about this Lee Daniels with the Ebony article.
Lord Jesus. He's just been on a campaign of fuck shit.
Yeah.
So from ebony.com, there was an opinion piece called Why Lee Daniels is Wrong About Oscars So White. And it was written by April Rain.
Yes.
Who was the creator of the hashtag Oscars So White.
Yes.
So, you know, if anybody's wrong about it, she would know.
Yes.
So, she says, in the New York Times, Lee Daniels dismissed the issues surrounding hashtag OscarSoWhite and called its supporters, among other things, whiny, reprehensible, and incomprehensible, which is saying something considering half the shit that comes out of his mouth lately is incomprehensible. One would think, therefore, he would champion the ideas of enabling traditionally underrepresented communities to have similar opportunities on the big and small screens, which is the goal of Oscar So White, because he previously said that he enjoys having a black writer's room writing for black people, that he hates it when white people write for black people because it's basically inauthentic. So you would think he would be all on board with Oscar So White, but no. Daniel states that his new show tells the story through a white girl's perspective because I felt that the country instinctively I thought needed to heal. It is not clear what is particularly healing about yet another TV show seen through the white lens. Our movie and television screens are teeming with them already. Teeming. Which is something that insects and rodents do. Anyway, from the... I like your word choice, April.
Yeah.
Also from the piece, with the rising tide of white nationalism that this country is experiencing after Cheeto Head's election. My word, not hers. white people seem to be feeling just fine. Further... It is not a responsibility to coddle them when they do not, especially when their uneasiness stems from concern about losing some of the status that they wield in the form of privilege. Break it on down, break it on down, down, down.
Yeah.
Also, it's rumored that Daniels had Monique blackballed from Hollywood temporarily after she didn't mention him in her Oscar acceptance speech for Precious. And I am inclined to believe it because I am sure that he is just that petty.
Ugh. Hell, after the way he portrayed her in Shadowboxer, I don't blame her. Hell, I know she took the role in Precious because she got to work like everybody else, but god damn.
And then subsequently, there were roles that Daniels probably created, you know, in The Butler and in other mom movies with Monique in mind, mm-hmm. that were given to Oprah Winfrey.
Yep.
And which, you know, kind of makes me side eye Oprah for taking them. It's not like she needed to, but. Whatever.
Well, he's one of her people. She helped him build his audience, and look, I like Oprah because, you know, she's definitely given us, you know, the opportunity with Queen Sugar, but she's also kind of a respectability spouting. You know, she built her audience to kind of being appeasing and kind of coddling whiteness as well.
Ugh. Anyway,
I mean, the thing is, I'm kind of not as mad at her. I mean, there's been some problems because, you know, face it, you're a black woman. There's only so much you can do until you have a certain status. But I mean, but she holds on to him. I'm like, it's okay to admit you made a mistake.
She holds on to him and Tyler.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. I mean, ew. You have Ava DuVernay now. You don't need them.
Also, you're Oprah fucking Winfrey.
Basically.
You really don't need any of these folks. They need you.
Basically.
Anyways.
Okay, yeah.
That's a whole other catch the fade. We'll have to do some other time.
Yeah.
But anyways, fuck these dudes.
Oh.
Get some lotion. Apply it liberally.
And every day.
And then also shut the fuck up.
Please. Seriously. Shut the
Speaking of,
fuck up.
Yeah. And same to Kim Burrell.
Mm-hmm.
Spouting homophobia that alienates and pushes out queer black men and women and other genders from the black church daily. And, that's pretty much all I got to say about that.
Girl, I couldn't even watch the video, but yeah, but it's like everybody else been saying, y'all want to pretend like y'all choir directors and all these other folks hadn't been like, you know, making y'all church since the beginning. You want to act like that ain't real? I mean, how the fuck are you going to? See, this is, you know, I kind of hate to go to a meme, but this is what I have to say. If your religion teaches you that you're supposed to hate somebody or oppress somebody, you need a new religion. And stop. And you know what? Actually, stop using your religion to hide behind your goddamn homophobia.
Yeah. Or any phobia. Or
exactly.
Bigotry.
Exactly.
Because
that ain't, that's really not what religion teaches anyway. Whoever twisted it and made you think it is, you need to go have a talk with them. Because they done fucking taught you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, ugh.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Also in Shut the Fuck Up News.
Oh, gosh.
Steve Harvey, who is the last person to talk about anybody's attractiveness.
Okay. So
doesn't see why anybody would be attracted to an Asian man. I don't know why or when this came up, but he said it on one of the TV shows that he, why does he have so many TV shows?
I don't know.
Why do people keep giving him TV shows?
I don't know. Illuminati, I guess. I don't know.
Something.
Girl. See,
I mean,
okay.
That's why I'm so glad that we had Asian Baywatch a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, they redoing it now.
Yes. But I'm so glad it was completely unprompted.
Yeah.
Just like, these men are hot. We need to shout them out.
Yeah. But girl, okay. Let me go, because I got some words for Steve Harvey.
Down.
So I saw the gift set, and apparently on his show, because you could tell that he thought he was being funny when he wasn't, because I don't know. He starts off, like, I forget exactly what prompted it, but he was talking about something, and then he's talking about, I don't see why white women like Asian men. I don't see why black women like Asian men. I don't even like Chinese food. And it's like something about, I don't eat nothing I can pronounce. And I'm like, just really horrible anti-Asian shit there.
God, that's ignorant.
Very. But I'm sitting here like, Steve Harvey, I know your overbutton respectability spouting ass ain't trying to talk about nobody being attractive when you look like a overbuttered roll that's been left in the oven too long with your shirt off. And I'm being nice when I say that. Steve Harvey, I would tie your ass to some tracks and run you over with a Zamboni if it meant I could get to Godfrey Gal. Actually, I would probably, you know, do less than that for the next Asian dude I meet on the street for a two-piece and a biscuit. That's how unattractive I find you.
Not only are you unattractive physically,
yes,
but the shit that comes out of your brain and your mouth and that shows up on your TV shows and in your books. And why do they make movies from his books? Why do they let him make books? Why do they let him?
Steve Harvey got
question mark. Why do they let
him? He got some bald ass nerve trying to give relationship advice to black women when this motherfucker has been like divorced 2-3 times.
3 times.
And apparently he's the one who was cheating.
Every time? Shit.
Don't ask me how that happened. I don't know. Maybe they see the money and success or whatever and like, okay, I'll get what I can while I can, because that's the only explanation I can think of. Because gosh.
Who is cheating with Steve? I don't understand. This world is foreign to me.
I don't know. He puts the money in the box and, you know, he traps him when he pulls the string away when they go for the money or some shit. I don't know. I don't have any good explanation for that either.
The money in the box.
Can you think of a better explanation of how anybody would willingly?
I do. Anyways.
Ugh. See.
Yes, off the top of my head, I can think of 20. 20 Asian men that...
Thank you.
I would gladly set their ass on.
Girl. Girl, you see Louis Tan? He pretty much...
Yeah.
He basically said, Steve, what's good?
What's good?
That's basically what he said.
With his six-pack.
Yes!
and his chiseled everything.
Ooh, thank everything. You, Louis Tam.
His elbows are chiseled. That's how.
Steve, did you see that, Steve?
You don't know nothing about that. No, you don't Steve. Know. You don't even have a two pack.
No.
He got six.
Yeah.
Working on eight.
Mm. But you want to talk about how did anybody find Asian men attractive? Mother.
Mom, fuck you.
Ugh.
I'm sorry. We got.
So all of these so, people, please just so, sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up five ever
to infinity and beyond. Shut up,
please.
You don't know shit, and you see recently he goes and visits Cheeto Head. They about to give him like a seat in the cabinet or some shit.
What some shit he don't even know about.
That's everybody in Cheeto Head's cabinet.
That's true.
Anyway.
That's true. I mean, that's why they'll fit in, but I'm like, damn. Ugh.
Like, how does he continue to fail upwards?
I don't
He's not
know.
Even white.
That's what I don't know.
He's mediocre, but he's not white.
I mean.
Usually the two go together.
Yeah. That's a mystery. That's. I mean, I used to admire men of color who did that because I'm like, if white dudes could do it, why can't you? But this is just, no. This is unacceptable.
Yeah. So, all these people and more can catch the fade.
Yep.
And
if Louis Tan ever meets Steve Harvey on the street, please call me because I'll bring the snacks and the alcohol.
No, well, yeah, if that happens, call me. So, you know, I can be his celebration party afterwards.
All right.
Because I'm sure he'll whip that ass, you know, really quickly.
Yeah.
And then we can get to the real party. Let me sit this ass on you. Show you how I feel. Anyway. Let me break you off a piece of this Kit Kat Louis Tan. Anyway, this week in that print.
Speaking of Louis Tan.
Lord, we should just list 20 Asian bays right now.
Oh.
Boom. Go.
Oh, okay. So, since actually this is kind of why I chose both of them, I chose two Asian dudes as a yep. further middle finger to Steve Harvey. So, mm-hmm. our first This Week in That Print is Donnie Yen.
Yes.
Yes, he's been all over the place lately because he was a star of the Star Wars Rogue One, where he mm-hmm. plays a blind samurai, I believe. I think so. Yeah. Anyway, that movie did open up number one in the country in its first week before Hidden Figures overtook it. And yeah. we are now beginning to see all of the hotness that Donnie Yen brings all over social media because, good Lord, he fine.
And how old is he? Because he is cut.
I think late 40s.
God bless.
Yeah, I think he's close to 50. But if you didn't know him before, he was actually also the star of the Ip Man trilogy. I saw the first two. I didn't see the third, but... Ooh, that first one. Lord, he fucking kicks 10 people's asses at once.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I guess Brown don't crack either.
It does not. He's fine. You know, bless his heart, because a reporter actually had the nerve to ask him, was it difficult filming the martial arts scenes? And the look on his face was like, did she
was like,
really?
You don't know me.
I know. Like,
you need to ask about
I know.
Me.
Like, did you really just say this? Did you really
did
just
you
ask?
Do any research?
I know. Because the first thing you'll come up with if you search his name is probably Ip Man. Those are martial arts films. They do.
Also, he's a fucking action movie star.
Thank you.
Like, the world over.
Thank you.
Just because you don't know him.
Like, oh. But he handled that. He handled that a lot better than I would have, because somebody would have got cussed out.
He probably hit that look that Pharrell looked.
He did
when old girl.
He did. That was the exact look. That was exactly the look like, really? You can just see him thinking, God damn, white people.
Yes, yes. Exactly.
God damn, white people. Wow, y'all. Yes. Okay.
So Donnie Yen.
So yes, Donnie Yen. I'm celebrating you. Okay, my yes. first pick, I'm sorry, my second pick is actually, he's half Indonesian. I actually did not know this until a couple of years ago. But and we also hadn't talked about him because I don't think either of us is watching the show. But my,
I am.
Are we, you are? Okay. But our my second choice, Mark Paul Gosselaar, who is now starring on Pitch, because he aged very, very well.
He's got that beard.
Girl.
He's prospering.
Yes. I mean, he's in his 40s now also, but he's playing 30-something on the show, and so I'm going to choose to believe that. But, God damn, he went and got beefy. He done got cut. I'm so glad he's not blonde anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But.
That I want to moisturize that beard, but he married. But,
and. They keep teasing us with him as a love interest for a black woman on a show. Is
the lead
yeah.
the lead woman on the show played by Kylie Bunbury.
Yeah, and they're so cute together. They're so cute.
I need season 2, Fox. Don't fuck this up.
And oh my God, the nude photo shoot for the team. I mean, the whole team was fucking banging. The whole team was fucking banging, but good Lord have mercy, Mark. You killed it.
Ooh. I'm just thinking about it now. Oh my God.
And so, yeah, between Donnie Yen and Mark Paul, we can go on with this, but how dare you?
Can we talk about Chow Ham?
Oh. Girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been before, but God damn. He has a new book out called Food Porn, and it is a coffee table book. It is a picture book, and it features a lot of his nudes that you might have caught on Instagram, but I think they might be at least partially uncensored, or at least more uncensored than they are on Instagram.
What? What? Do you mean, will I actually see that print?
I hope so.
Oh my God. That's reason enough to buy the book. At least the digital version.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
So that's 3. you already mentioned Godfrey Gal. Are we, that's 4.
Okay, we about to go on? Louis Tan?
We about to, yes.
We
yes, 5.
Okay. Oh! Mm-hmm. Into the Badlands is about to come back. Daniel Wu. 6.
6.
Riz
Ahmed. 7. Although I did see some pictures of him with Amy Schumer, but
Dev Patel.
Yes. 8.
We still want that rom-com.
His beard I will happily moisturize. Yeah. Hit me up, Dev.
And he was so cute with his baby county counterpart at the Golden Globes. So cute, so cute, so cute. Forever Always, John Cho.
Yes.
9. Because we need more John Cho and stuff anyway.
Well, BD Wong.
Oh,
he's in Mr. Robot.
Yes.
10.
Yes, 10. I love him. He is so
awesome.
Okay. Let's see. Sean Baek.
Oh yeah, your baby.
My boo. Killjoys.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I keep forgetting his name, but I think it's Alex Mutt from Dark Matter. Alex Alex Malari Jr. Number 4 on Dark Matter.
Avian Jogia.
12, 13. Oh, yeah, he just did that fashion shoot. Ooh, mm-hmm. Lord, have mercy. God, have mercy.
Steven Yeun.
Oh, hell yeah. 14.
Always, forever.
Yes. Okay. hurry up and play with that new baby so you can
come back to my TV.
Yes. Tony Leung. I think that's how his last name is pronounced. Tony Leung or Leung. I'm 15 because I know it's a few years old, but just go back and watch Lust Caution. Ooh! I hope I say his name right. Lee Byung-hun from The Magnificent Seven. Is that
15? 14. That's 14. 15. Oh my gosh. I just had somebody and I forgot.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Crap. Sorry.
Oh, well, it'll come back to me.
Yeah. Daniel Henney.
Yes, that's who I was thinking of.
Right,
yes.
Okay. We're on the same page. Yes. Daniel Henney, 15.
Rahul Kohli from iZombie.
Ooh, 16.
Another man I will happily
moisturize
his beard. Yes, yes.
Harry Shum Jr.
He's married, but yeah. God bless his wife. Yes. She is a lucky woman.
She's on.
Because that man can move. He is a dancer and an actor, and he can flat out move.
Yes.
Daniel
Day Kim.
Hell yes. He can cut glass with his cheekbones.
Yeah. That's what, 17?
Oh. I've lost count. But yeah, let's say 17. Yeah, we already mentioned everybody. We mentioned into the, oh my God, I just saw this picture there of Harry Shum. Oh, and he was shirtless. Oh, my man, Rahul. Oh, he could get it. I'm stuck on these people we already named.
Carrie Fukunaga.
Fuck yes. Carrie Joji Fukunaga.
Yes. 18.
Let me set this
Willie Cartier. Willie Cartier.
Mm-hmm.
19.
Mm-hmm. That's
19. Let's see. We need one more. See, I'm actually seeing a lot, but I'm trying to go with people that I've seen and stuff. So I don't. Oh man, we already said John Cho. Oh man.
Well,
I've been thinking about him, but I didn't know if I wanted to go with him. But Ken Watanabe, is that 20?
Yeah, that's your cat daddy.
Yeah,
right?
That's my cat daddy.
There you go. 20.
Okay, I was trying to be different, but no, I gotta go with my forever cat daddy. Ken Watanabe.
We did it. That's just 20. There's 100,000 more.
There's billions more.
And you mad about it. We didn't even mention Jason Momoa or The Rock.
Oh, that's true.
Kiss my ass, Steve Harvey. Mm. Harvey. Whatever the fuck your name is.
We don't
is.
Care about what your name is.
Don't. Ooh, we didn't even mention Rick Yoon.
Oh.
God. There's just so many. So, oh my God, we didn't mention Conrad Riccamora.
I didn't even mention any of my favorite writers. Shit.
Ooh.
Hell, Hayao Miyazaki could have got it.
Look,
I know he's old. I don't care. He's still bae.
Anime ho.
Simon anime ho.
So yeah, that's 20 to get you started, Steve. So check them out, do some research, and shut
and
the fuck up.
And if they all want to take turns beating you in the face.
So I can't do all these photos for the visual
guide,
y'all.
We'll do.
I'm going to let y'all know now. I'd be here all day. And
we're going to give y'all Donnie and Mark, though.
Yes. Also, shout out to Trevante Rhodes again.
Yes. I know. I'm like, Lord have mercy.
And shout out to your 8-pack. And
yes, and your beautiful, beautiful smile.
Also, let me sit this. Anyway, also Idris, God. Idris, stop playing. Yeah. Stop playing with folks. Idris. He out here talking about being somebody's Valentine for charity, and I'm broke, Idris.
I know, right?
Idris, why you doing this? I ain't got the money. So if you want to hit up my PayPal and help me raise the funds for this, I you know, if you don't want to donate to the podcast, you can donate to my Get Idris for Valentine's Day fund.
Lord.
Either or, people, you know, pick your poison.
Why is he such a tease? So, it's all going to the Let Me Possibly Be Idris Valentine fund, so don't matter.
Let me moisturize Idris's beard fund. My technique, it's state of the art.
That is at Dust Daughter. That's DustDaughter on Twitter.
That's right. And that's also my PayPal. So,
at Gmail.
So get on it, folks. You ain't got to give out the email.
I was just guessing. Everybody got Gmail. I'm just taking a guess.
Woman's vocab.
Okay. All right. Today's woman's vocab term is doublespeak. Doublespeak is derived from George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984, even though it never appears in the novel. It means language deliberately constructed to disguise actual meaning. It directly focuses on language deliberately constructed for political purposes, meant to impose a desirable mental attitude upon the person using the language. William Lutz calls it language that pretends to communicate but doesn't. I think we can guess the inspiration for that.
Yes, everything that comes out of
Lee. Yeah. Yeah.
And all these other fuckwits. Yes. Double sweet, good word. And Black Girl Commandments, Michelle Obama will always be our first lady.
Always and forever.
Amen.
Yes.
And what is the thing you said earlier?
About okay. How did I put it? I said, don't let anybody tell you that an oppression or bigotry against someone within your, wait, how did I put it? I can't even remember it now.
A specific part of the community.
It's part of the culture. Yes. Thank you. Don't let anyone tell you that oppressing a specific part of the community is a part of the culture.
Basically, shitting on Black women is not...
It's not part of the culture.
A normal part
of
the culture.
Abuse toward Black women is not part of the culture. It's not normal.
Yes. Don't normalize it. There's nothing normal about it. It's a cancer. It needs to be extracted from the body. And with that, we just want to remind you of all our contact info. We'd love to hear from you. On Twitter, we're at Black Girl Squee. Individually, Inda is at Inda's Corner. I'm at Dust Daughter. Our Tumblr is blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. Our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And our iTunes is in the show notes. And our Simplecast new podcast home is blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. So until next time,
bye.
Bye.